What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club, the number one online community for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, Tiago, here. He is an amazing DJ, and we're super excited to hear his story. So, brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Brother, this is DJ Tiago from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised out there. I've been DJing since about 2007 is when I started. I'm out right now on military leave, so that's I'm in California, about 3 hours behind you. But as soon as I get back, I'll get right back to it.
Awesome, brother. Super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast, man. And we like to hear the stories of DJs and just try to walk us through your amazing journey in the DJ career. So talk to us about the beginning days. What sparked your interest to become a DJ, and just give us some insight on those early days?
Yeah, so it was probably about 2007, maybe around 2006 is when I began an interest. I've been with like music pretty much growing up. I was in chorus through elementary, middle school, and high school. Participated in, you know, GMEA events, honor chorus. So I always had like a musical background. Definitely liked all types of genres of music. And about sometime in high school, there used to be a local hookah bar, Anatolia's, where a lot of high schools used to congregate at on the weekends. And they would have a DJ over there. And I thought it was so cool that, you could play one song, mix it in with another one. So I would kind of hang behind DJ Johnny Blaze and just kind of watch what he was doing on software. It's a very simple software, but eventually passed on the software to me. I practiced a couple weekends at home, learning all the little keyboard shortcuts and everything. By next weekend, I was like showing him a couple things that he didn't know about. And then one day he was like, "Hey, we're going to go out for a cigarette break. You want to jump on?" I said, "Sure, why not?" Jumped on, and he came back and he's like, I said, "You want to get on?" He's like, "No, man." He's like, "You're killing it." So from there, I kind of saved up, upgraded the software to Serato, saved up to get my first mixer from my first mentor, DJ Anthony D, and just saved up to get turntables after that and built more of a foundation of learning how to mix the songs, blend them. As my career progressed, I learned how to more mix and key, read the crowd, a lot of different aspects that go into DJing that people don't think about.
Awesome, man. That's a super interesting beginning. You know, you really just jumped right into it, started learning, and you really just naturally progressed in it. And that's super amazing to hear, man. I would love to hear, you know, where did it go from there? You know, after you got that initial introduction, like when did you get like your first gig or were able to kind of take your DJ career to that next first step?
So after I upgraded to like Serato and started learning that platform, since it was like the industry standard, I was getting like simple gigs at sports bars, such as like Tony Sports Bar in Sandy Springs. And I'd get like little wedding gigs here and there, little birthday parties. It wasn't until I saved up to get my first turntables where I got my first gig in Atlanta at Havana Club in about 2010. Anthony hit me up on the phone and was like, "Hey, I see, you know, I've been putting in some work and I got a gig here and I need an opener for me." I was ecstatic. I was super, you know, I brought both my turntables and everything. I was ready to rock. And that was my first gig out there and it was really exciting.
Nice, man. That's amazing, brother. And your first gig is always a special one. You know, tell me about little details about that first gig. You know, were you nervous? Was it something that you were really confident for? Just how'd you feel in that moment? And then, you know, where did it go after kind of getting that first experience in the industry?
Looking back at it now, I was definitely still inexperienced, but the drive was still there. I was definitely nervous. You don't really get to build crowd reading experience on your first gig because you've never been in that environment before. Doing birthday parties or weddings isn't the same as being like in a nightclub, in my opinion. You still have to read the crowd on there, but it's definitely a different type of demographic on it. So, and depending on what the promoter wants or what the owner wants or something.
Awesome, man. And tell me a little bit about some of the subtle details about reading the crowd and also kind of playing to the promoter, the audience, yourself, and everyone that's involved in the whole, you know, DJing at these live events. Tell me like some of the details and things that you have accomplished in regards to learning the different skills and techniques that help you succeed as a DJ in these scenarios. What are some tips that you have for other people out there?
So reading the crowd is definitely important, but you also have to know, in my opinion, at the end of the day, who's signing your check. If I'm at a birthday party or a wedding or something, I'm going to play what they want. You know, now there are times where I do push the envelope sometimes and I do play for the crowd, but eventually I get back to what whoever booked me wants to hear. I can be at a wedding and they want X music and grandma comes around and wants Y music. I might slip it in there, find out some way I can blend it in, but get back to X music. In the club, you got to look at who's booking you as a promoter. You want to build that continuing relationship with them. You don't want to just step on their toes just because anybody can come up and request some off the wall music. And if you keep playing that, then it might hurt you in the long run because that's not what the promoter's booking you for. That's not maybe what the night is about at the club.
Yeah, no, that's super great advice because you are there for a service and you have to realize who's your client. You know, is your client the audience or is it the person that's booking you or is it the club owner or is it a sponsor or whoever it may be? Think about that and really understand that the way that you grow your business is by treating it as a business and that everyone has their own incentives and motivations behind you as a DJ and make sure that you're playing your role at that time. So that's super important. And, you know, DJs, they have the skill, they have the talent and they're like, oh, I know how to read the crowd. But sometimes it's not about reading the crowd. It's understanding what role you need to play as a DJ in that moment for that client. So I really like that you point that out. And what we like to talk about here on the club is really talking about DJing, not just as a hobby, but as a business and a career. You know, we're all about helping DJs build their brand, make more money, and really do well as a DJ in this industry. So talk to me a little bit about your brand and what it means to you, you know, how you go about marketing and branding yourself and some tips that you may have for other DJs that are struggling in this area.
So when it comes to my brand, I mean, I feel like it can always improve. I mean, I always look up, I have inspirations that from the past. I think the first one was DJ Baby U, growing up in Atlanta, listening to him on the radio, seeing him like everything from your logo to what you're presenting on your website and the type of events that you take. And I think all that portrays what type of brand you are. Are you taking just corporate gigs? Is that your thing? Are you more of sometimes we consider like a mobile DJ, corporate events, weddings, or you're a nightclub DJ, tour DJ, radio DJ? There's a lot of different fields in it, and I'm definitely nowhere near mastering that brand, but I always like to take in all aspects, seeing where everybody's, what they're doing in each field and how it's working out for them and see what I believe could work out for me. Logo definitely comes big into play. I had some small thing. That was probably the first thing that I did to change my brand was I was rocking the same logo for, I don't know, maybe several years. And then I actually got in touch with a graphic designer. That's the first time I put input out to like my followers. I put 6 mock-ups and I got their input, what they thought was best, what they thought would look good, and narrowed it down, tweaked it a little bit, moved out from there. And definitely who you affiliate yourself with can have a huge impact on your brand and how people perceive you moving forward from that.
Yeah, I think that's really great. You have a aspect of community around your brand. It's not just you playing out to people or you just making decisions on your own. You're really involving your entire community around your brand. And that's very powerful because as a DJ, when you have a gang of people or a community of people that are supporting you and are walking with you along in that journey, it makes things much easier. You have a foundational audience that supports you. And, you know, when you go live or when you go to events, they're going to show up. And that actually kind of helps you build community and crowd around what you're doing. So I think you're taking all the right steps, and a lot of DJs should definitely follow these steps to build their career and build their brand as well. You know, you've been in the game for some time now. I would love to hear, you know, what are some of the challenges that you faced as a DJ, and what are some things that you did to overcome them?
Challenges. Anything from the crowd not responding to what you're playing because of what you were booked and told to kind of base your music around, to hardware difficulty, like technical difficulties. I've been in situations where I've been opening for people and then the next DJ maybe didn't have the software update for the new Serato. So we got to figure it out. Fortunately, I saved all the drives on my computer. I put on a flash and get it to him. Meanwhile, we were unplugged and I was pretty much running. It was in the main room and I was mixing to the club there on like internal mode. Wasn't even using the CDJs or turntables at the time. And you just have to be able to adapt. Don't panic on there. The more calm you stay and the more clear-minded you'll be when it comes to it. As for reading the crowd and not getting the reaction that you want, same thing, don't panic. You just didn't play the right song at the moment. The night's still young. You can bounce back from that and maybe try a different genre, maybe a different song, something. Keep it in the same BPM range, just blend it in. Sometimes there have been points where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have to slam into this next song. It doesn't even match the BPM and just backspin one deck and just drop the other one. And then, you know, the crowd's revived again.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I think that these are some really good tips. And you never know when things are going to go wrong. But by remaining calm and be able to kind of problem solve in the moment and not letting people see you sweat is super important, because that's going to make the difference where someone sees you as an expert versus someone that is just figuring it out. And even if you are just figuring it out, if you have the confidence to kind of mask it and just do what you got to do, it really goes a long way. And that's how people, you know, grow to like you even more and just want to look towards you for one advice and also entertainment and just be a big fan of what you're doing, because you just give off that confidence and people like to follow confidence. No one wants to follow people that are not, you know, really sure of themselves and sure of what they're doing. So I think that you're giving really great advice, and DJs that are listening are going to really be able to hear this and reevaluate the way that they go about when issues occur in their DJing. And I would love to, you know, really highlight some of the things that you've been doing in this current time. Like, DJing has changed a lot since the pandemic and since this current situation with social distancing and such. What have you been doing over the past like year or so in adjustment to this new climate of DJing?
So unfortunately, I can't speak too much on that, because about 2019, I got orders for the Army to ship out. So I've been gone for about almost 2 years in August now, and kind of at the peak of when coronavirus started hitting a lot of my, you know, brothers and sisters DJing still in the industry. And I saw a lot of them switch over to live streaming Twitch, because some of them, this is what they do. This is their career. This is their livelihood. Whereas some would still be involved heavy with it, but still have another job as well, so they could fall back on. But live streaming was definitely something that I saw them take to. And I even saw online, maybe not in my hometown, but a lot of cities would stream in the club a DJ from home. So that way you still have that DJ aspect in the club. You still got the music there. It's not just Spotify in the background or something when they would offer social distancing and drinking and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely a lot has changed, and it's good to see that you were aware of some of the things that your buddies and DJs in your network were doing. And it's just interesting just where things are going with technology and this industry giving the social distancing requirements and stuff like that, man. You know, at this time, we're going to jump into a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the learning lessons you learned in the DJ career, okay?
Sounds good.
And we're back. We're super excited here. We're with our brother DJ Diego, and he's telling an amazing story about his DJ career. We would love to jump into some of the learning lessons that you learned throughout your journey as a DJ. You've been involved in many capacities, from private events to clubs and everything like that. We'd love to hear, you know, what are some things that you know now that you wish you knew when you were first getting started?
Opening sets. probably the biggest thing. If you want to be a get in the nightclub industry, you have to know your role as an opening set DJ. I think it's a art form that has been kind of lost as I progressed and saw other new DJs come into the scene and seen them open. The biggest thing is to know, don't step on the other DJ's toes. Like, you're there, you know your role, you're setting the mood and everything. Now, there have been times where I open up for certain cats and like we're close friends and I say, hey, how do you want me to open for you? To the point where I said, what BPM do you want me to kind of range? Do you want me to be at before you come in? So that way we just keep it, you know, a seamless blend. And they'll tell me, and then other friends will just be like, hey, just give me free range, which is nice, but that doesn't mean go crazy either, you know? It's not playing all the hit jams and everything, but even if you don't get that blessing from whoever's headlining, it's don't step on the next DJ's toes. I mean, you're there to set the mood. Of course, people that get there early want to have a good time, they want to party, but if they really want to jam, they're going to stay there longer anyways. So if you burn out the crowd early, then you're kind of messing it up for the next DJ. And that's probably the biggest thing I learned growing up, and I took opening sets a lot more seriously.
Wow, that's really good insight, man. And DJs out there that are doing opening sets but don't realize what they may be doing wrong by going in and just playing all the hits and kind of burning out the crowd. please listen to my brother here. He's giving some really great advice. You know, talk to me deeper about some of the relationships you're able to build and kind of just what have being a great opening DJ has done for you and how it may have even led to more opportunities, just being able to understand how to play your role properly.
So doing that, you're going to be playing songs that you normally don't play at like the prime time slot. I think that's good too. It gives you an advantage because you get to touch up and brush up on older tracks, different combinations, different patterns that you can do. And whoever's listening there, it could be a promoter that's just there just for fun. And if they see that you can do a set style of music, maybe that's what they're looking for a separate gig. Could be a corporate event or something. And that actually happened with me. It ended up being a Microsoft event. And I wasn't even supposed to DJ that night. It was last minute. It was at Havana Club. And I was out in Atlanta just having some drinks. And then I guess last minute, they just said they needed somebody to DJ. Fortunately, I always carry my laptop with me in the cars, and they already had a turntable set up. So I said, sure, I'll show up. And they wanted like music that normally would have been listened to in that room. But because it was a private event, it worked out great. And then eventually, as the night progressed, I got to play all the primetime hits and everything that, you know, every DJ kind of wants to do and the crowd wants.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And you pointed out something special. You know, you never know who's going to be in the crowd. So you always want to give it your best. You always want to come with the right energy that's going to impress, even if it's only one person in the room. Even if you think that there's no one there, you got to do your best because you just never know when that next opportunity is going to come. You never know who's listening or whose lives you're going to change. You know, it could be someone that's in the back or in, you know, that's in the back cleaning or something like that. And you're just playing music and it just puts them in a good mood. And that might be able to transform their life in some way. You just don't know. So at all times, give it your all, regardless of where you're playing, regardless of what time you're playing. If you're DJing, you are a DJ. So do your best at all times. And I really appreciate you giving these advice, because this is things that people need to hear, because sometimes they're just, you know, going with the motions and they're just doing it without really being intentional about the things that they're doing as they're DJing. So I'm glad that you really understand. And I want to know, like, did you have any mentors or anybody that kind of taught you this, or is this things that you kind of picked up on your own?
Oh, no, definitely. Growing up, like I said, my first mentor, DJ Anthony D, changed to the DJ and I think now he's just Deso. He moved up to New York. He was my first one, and he really taught me a bunch, introduced me to one another heavy mentor like DJ Weapons and DJ Robbie Wild. And Weapons really taught me a lot, especially even if I wasn't opening for him. I would watch him and see how he's playing to the crowd, the style, how he's doing it. There were times I remember I opened once and my blend game wasn't on point. So this is like before all the DJ intro edits were always out. And I would play a song with the lyrics, and the next song I blend, even though it was on the same BPM, I would clash the lyrics, like a chorus with like the verse. And I was there rocking with it. And I mean, people were still dancing, but they were cracking up. And I was like, what's so funny? And it's like, you don't smash the lyrics together. And from that point, I started making my own edits. I would find instrumentals, record it, because I had the right mentality, the right count. But I just needed to get that one little aspect on there. And it's all love. Like, I mean, you got to be able to laugh at your friends and be like, hey, you're messing up here. This is what you got to do. And just small things like that.
Yeah, I love your attitude around it. You know, it's all about improving and making iterations on your craft. And the small details is what make the difference between a decent DJ and a great DJ. And you want to make sure that you're on the great side. And I think that you're definitely doing a great job at this. And would love to just continue talking about some of the things that are really stand you out as a DJ. You know, you have a military background, and you're doing DJing as well as being in the military. Are you able to do any DJs while you're DJing while you're out there?
Unfortunately not. There have been a couple of weeks where I've been able to go home for a little bit, but as soon as I get home, my wife already knows I got my own studio in there. And the first thing I did was I went and recorded like a Russian mixtape, just straight Russian music on there. And it's actually really pretty cool music. And I try to consider myself open format DJ. So, and I've played in events before where the promoter was Russian, and a lot of the people there were Russian or Ukrainian. And they would come up and say, hey, do you have any Russian music? And I said, no. And it's like, now when I come back, be a little bit more prepared for that. So
that's awesome. But you get to experience so many different countries and so many different atmospheres. Tell us a little bit about the differences when you're traveling the world and you're able to be exposed to these different nightclubs and different opportunities to DJ for people that you're not typically DJing for. How's it like, and what do you do to better prepare for different crowds that you never DJed for?
I haven't been blessed enough to go around the world, but I have been to like Florida. I've DJed in North Carolina. We did a festival in Las Vegas once. I can probably speak about Florida the most. Well, even in North Carolina, if I got booked to DJ out there, I would actually go out to the spot a week or two before as just like a customer, link up with a DJ there. I wouldn't like hang by him all night. I would just be at the bar, kind of listen to what he's playing, because it would be the same night that I'll be booked there, see how the crowd's responding to it, and base your judgment on that. Same thing with going down to Florida for like a spring break for Panama City when we're doing like La Vila and everything. I toured with The Verse, and I was his DJ for that. We hit Daytona, and we were kind of looking at the spots beforehand a couple nights before we went to go perform over there. So we kind of know what the crowd's looking for, what they're expecting to match that energy.
That's a really great tip, man. Go to the spot on the same day, but like a week before, 2 weeks before, because there's different crowds, different nights, and you want to make sure that you have a similar vibe to what was played that day of the week. So that's super great advice. And you learn a lot about the crowd. You learn about the environment, the type of music that does well, and you can learn from the DJ prior. I think that's really great advice and good tips to help people do a really great job when they go to especially new atmospheres that they've never been to before. So I appreciate you sharing that, man. You know, I'd love for you to, you know, before we jump into our lightning round, tell us about some of the things that you're currently focused on, and how could myself, our audience, our community, the club support and help you?
My biggest advice is, I think in my position now, being that my turntables are back at home, all my gear is there, is if you're put in a position like that, stay up on the music, stay up on the news, the hardware, software, everything. Because like I said, I've been gone for almost 2 years now, and they're releasing new equipment. Maybe when I come back, the techniques won't be there anymore in the club that I'm used to. It'll be the new Rain, or maybe it'll be a new controller. And if you go in and, you know, everyone's going to be excited to book you when you come back, and you're not prepared or ready to jump on this because you've never even seen this controller before, or these CDJs or anything like that. I mean, you can kind of work around it. Everything kind of works on the same principle, but you're going to be nervous. I think you'll be you won't be confident. And that, like I said, plays in a part into your performance. Music wise, always stay up on the newest music. I got several record pools that I get emails from, and whether or not I have time to listen to them, I just download them and, you know, run them through Mix and Key and Platinum Notes, so that way they're track ready or club ready for me to play, and I'll listen to them when I'm riding my motorcycle or something.
Awesome. Yeah, we're about to jump to the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yep.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
All right, so I run a MacBook Pro. I actually run two of them because the first one has a terabyte of music and ran out of space, so I got the second one with more of the newer music too. I run a Pioneer S9 mixer, two Techniques MK5s. I just turntables and was what got me into DJing, so I love the scratch. I love the feel of vinyl, but don't get me wrong, the new Rain 12s or definitely look nice. So,
who's your favorite DJ?
It would be DJ Qbert, hands down. Hands down. He's the guy I would love to be able to be a 1% to scratch like him.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
It would have probably been that Microsoft party that I mentioned, just because it was last minute. Definitely didn't know what I was getting into, but after testing the waters out and just seeing everybody respond positively to my selection is a great feeling. And we rocked like the entire night. I got to try out new mashups that I made, new remixes. Like, it was really fun.
Who's the most interesting person you've met throughout your career as a DJ?
It probably would have been DJ Qbert. The first time he came to Atlanta, and my brother Fort Knox was emceeing for him, and he got to let me do a little meet and greet to actually meet somebody that used to watch, you know, DJ at the Summit in 96 online and see him right there do, I think it was an hour-long performance of somebody with a beat, and he was just scratching the entire time. Like, it was just an amazing performance. And to meet him, he's super humble, he's a great guy. And now that I'm here in California, maybe I might get a chance to run into him again.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I don't know. Like, I watch a couple of my friends, like DJ Incrediboy, jump on his live stream, and he really, I think, gets the most out of it when it comes. I don't know too much about live streaming, but seeing him interact with the crowd, the following and everything, where it comes to, I guess, the logos or just how it's displayed or portrayed on the app, looks really good. I think they've incorporated to where you can tip DJs and everything. I think that's a nice feature, especially because, I mean, you tip a DJ at the club when you want to hear a request, or generally you would, but I honestly don't know what aspect would be missing from it.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, man, that's a huge list in itself. Just off top of the head, Weapons, Robbie Wild, JNV, Menelik, Snap, Incrediboy. Oh, man, they're going to kill me for missing them right now. Two Tone Def, Cheddar 9. Yeah, if I forgot to say your name, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I still love everybody.
Hey, it's all good, brother. We look forward to hearing their stories. And anyone that's interested in being on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person whenever you're still doing events?
So when I get back, I held a residency at the Warren City Club in Virginia Highlands, just right inside the city. And I would be there either Fridays or Saturdays. When I get back, we'll see what's going on. I'm on Instagram.com. _DJ_Tiago. And yeah.
Awesome, brother. This has been an amazing interview. Really excited to just continue to follow your journey as you get back into the game, and really just happy for you to share everything to us today. This was really great. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our audience learned a lot as well. Everyone, please follow, check out my brother, DJ Tiago. He's really doing a great job, and we honor you for your service and everything that you're doing, man, and appreciate you spending time with us today.
Thanks for the support. Thanks for letting me be on.